How's everybody doing today? Y'all may be seated. That's awesome. We got one good one. I'm not doing too bad myself. I got to go to bed last night. Amen. I'm almost feeling a daylight again. I want to start with my icebreaker today. Y'all ready? Can you say yard sale? Can y'all say yard sale?
Yard sale.
Ah, we might be getting there. We want to do a fundraiser. Again, we usually do them annually, and it proceeds to go to outreach, of course, and some inreach. This past year, we've sent the young people several places. We've done many things, and we've supported lots of outreach. If you can, the beginning of the month of March, I haven't picked a date yet, but if you can start digging, how many of y'all feel the spring cleaning coming on? Okay, that was y'all, the ones I wanted to talk to. We'll take just about anything. Y'all still thinking? Come on, ladies, hit your husbands. He said he'll take it. We'll take just about anything if you can carry it. Right now, we're doing some renovations in the annex, so we don't really have a storage spot, but who knows? If we have lots of things, we might postpone the annex a day or two for the monies from the yard sale proceeds. Amen? So if you can think about it after church today, not doing service. Amen? Say yard sale.
Yard sale.
I've been excited about today for a long time when I started fasting. It was one of the first things that came to my spirit because too often, personally, when I fast and pray, I feel delivered quick. Soon as I know I get past the second and third day, it's on. It's going to be a great thing. It's that second and third day that really hurts. First day is kind of tribute to the fast. You wave your fast flag, and everybody knows you fast. And it really, like Pastor said, it's not but a glorified diet on the front end. But after that third day, it's kind of eye twitching for some, bending over for others, sister don't know what to do. I got sick on the fast. How many of y'all got sick on the fast? Yeah, that was horrible. But it's almost over for me now. I told you, like, I like to go in. Last time I got to speak, I go in and I flip it and I come out. So I'm about to eat meat. And yesterday I ate a Jenny O hot dog, turkey. Wasn't what I had planned, but I was desperate. Amen. All the foods that all the foods we enjoyed on the fast, don't eat them anymore till next January. I'm serious. Because they don't taste the same, do they? How many of y'all want to go back and eat one of them gluten-free things you did when you were trying to look, when you were desperate during the fast to try to find something to fit the fast? Don't eat it till next year. It won't taste as good. Amen. I was asked, Brother Keith, what you going to talk about? You going to talk about money? Yeah. Brother Keith, what you going to talk about? You going to talk about women? Yeah. Men? Yeah. Drugs? Yeah. Liquor? Of course. Try to hit them all today because I've been excited about it. And is excited because during the fast, all those things came back through my mind. I'm first generation for those of you that do not know me. And I don't have a flashback, but if you want to call it a flashback every once in a while of the world. Because the world for me has just been this far away. I've tried to back away, like to teach, get away as far as I can. And every day I still think it's just for me, but a hands grip away. I don't know how you feel sometimes, but I just keep my hands in my pocket and stand and be still when I don't know what else to do. Amen? How about you? In John 10:10, Jesus told us, this is written in red if you got an old school Bible, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. During the fast, how many of y'all felt things break away and fall off? How many of y'all enjoyed putting on clothes you hadn't put on in a while? Right. Something broke away, didn't it? Something gave in. It was like, how many of y'all touched the blouse or the skirt or the pants or the suit? I'm like, man, I still look all right. That was probably in week 3, didn't happen right out the gate. But as soon as you start fasting, you have that engagement of your spirit man or woman with the real things that's going on in your life. How many of y'all doing a fast realize you were broke? What do you mean, Brother Keith? It costs a lot to eat, right? It wasn't just the food. When I go to made a salad for $10, and I could have had a piece of meat. And it was iceberg lettuce on top. Wasn't fit for eating anyway. Did you realize you were broke? How many of y'all, when you didn't have anything to do during the social media, went and flashed all the way back to your childhood? All the way back to sitting at the table with your mom and dad and listening to someone speak to you and talk to you. How many of your conversation skills got whacked during the fast? Amen? Just little bitty blurbs, but this time I really tried to make mention of it because something grabbed me. And I was talking to a man on night shift, and we got to talking, not, you know, night shift. How many night shifters in here? Sometimes you get some deep night shift thought. Krista, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, I don't even know this person. I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you. That's what you do at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you don't have anything else going on, amen? But he said, I feel trapped. And I had just felt trapped that day, hallelujah. And I had the right words to tell him because I said, man, the worst trap there is the one that you set for yourself. Y'all want to talk about traps a little bit? As I speak, please remember, I didn't mean to leave your trap out, but we only got so much time today. Because every one of us got our own vice. We share some, but the one that only Jesus can break is yours truly, the mold he made and the vice you have. According to scriptures, who can take us out of the hand of God? Nobody, only me. Only me. You can't ruin my salvation. I can. I'm the only one. I can't point fingers all day and say, well, pastor should have taught me different. Sister McGuire could have played and picked a different song. Man, every time they take up the offering, it gets into my skin. Every time he looks at me and she looks at me and they tell me and they say, that don't stop me from going to heaven. Most of us in the adult class, hopefully you have arrived. It took me a long time to get there because I still believe nobody but me can take me out of the hands of God. I've been tried, I've been tested, I've been pushed, I've been pulled, I've been teased, I've been tormented, been falsely accused. People still try to laugh at me in my face and behind my back. But I know where I am. I'm staying in the hand of God. Amen. Finances. How many of y'all been trapped in finances? Keep your hands down. Keep your head down if you really feel bad about it. But you've been trapped in finances. If I would have been much more attentive personally to the will of God in my life, my house would be paid for. How about you? I did not think Lakeland would be my home for 20 years. I took out a 30-year. Go do the math and see what your house is worth when you do 30-year. Somebody just ripped you off. Because you get tired of that house after about 6. Right? The carpet don't look so good. The paint's the wrong color. Who put the countertop right here? I can't believe it don't have a big enough window in this place. What were they thinking when they put the pantry right here? If you're stuck in the 30-year and you're real happy about it, you can run the aisles in just a little bit, but I was really disappointed because I left a paid-for house in Georgia to come get me a 30-year. How'd you miss God? I didn't think I did. Sometimes I don't believe everything bad is of the devil. Sometimes it's me. I should have stuck to my financial plans, but I didn't. I want to be cheap, and I'll enjoy Florida. And then when I leave Florida, I'll have a bunch of money when I sell this house because when I was going to leave in my own mind, like, Pastor, how many times we had this conversation? 10? Yeah. Pastor, you really believe I should be in Lakeland? Y'all can smile. I know y'all have had it with him, too. I can't be the only one. I'm the assistant pastor, and I still have those conversations with pastor. Surely some of y'all want to know, where's my husband? Where's my wife? Is this really my job? Because everybody that seems to come to Central Florida don't stay. They don't stay, and I was one of them. I got caught in that thing about Central Florida. Florida ain't really what it was cut out to be. When I got here for a while, it's like, you get, you know, enough beaches, enough beach, enough Disney World, You got to build a new ride in an amusement park every year to keep me coming back. I get bored easy. Amen? But finances got me. They made it sound real easy. They made it sound real quick. They made it sound inexpensive for me to get trapped in finances. Probably like some of you. If it sounds too good, it's probably not. The only good thing I ever found in the scriptures that was good finances was when Jesus told the apostles to go fishing to get some tax money. And he said, you're going to land a fish, and a coin's going to pop out of his mouth. How many fishermen in here? Boy, now that's a fishing trip right there. Just think if you could go fish for money like that. Pay your taxes. How many of y'all had some good stroke of taxes lately? Wouldn't it be just, I'm going to need a 10-pound bass to get all the coins out of that. Pay my taxes. Often, too often, it seems like the enemy knew what Jesus put out there for us. The baits he uses are right line up with truth. But there's really no truth for quick finances like that, unless someone passes on and leave you an inheritance. That's the only one I could see that's like quick money in the Bible besides a fishing trip. Maybe you know another one and tell me later. But it's not passed down. You got to go get it. Amen? 6 days a week, too, according to Scripture, millennial people. I didn't see no 3 days a week and be a millionaire in your 30s yet. Millennial people. My college and career group is in here, too. We'll be talking about that a lot this month. Lust of the flesh. King James Version. King James Version is sex. How many of you ever got caught in that and trapped in that? I know it'd be sensitive, but it's adult class. Some of you possibly are fighting it as we speak. Scriptures teach us that we find favor in men when we find a wife. Favor with God. How many of y'all married men in here remember you had that? I forget it a lot. I forget. I count all my blessings, but I forget I found favor with the God I served 26 years ago. I had favor with God. I forget that. I forget to check that card off. How many of y'all remembered when you woke up this morning, you had favor with God? The devil would have you, I shared this with y'all before. I had one of the two men that I knew that were never married, that lived well into nursing home age. L.C. Riggins was my favorite. He always had little quick sayings, and I think I shared this with y'all. He said, brother, he was getting feeble in his age. He said, keep check on them eyes of yours. You're going to get in trouble. I wasn't married to Sister Esther yet in them days. I did serve God for 2 years, not married. And we had a handful of nice-looking women in the church that were available, and, you know, sometimes you see them. And church drama always wanted, how many of y'all like church drama? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but I kind of like it too. That's all we do, you know? And so help me if I wound up next to one of these sisters that wasn't Sister Esther when Sister Esther was out of town. Then the drama would start. She was taking me away. She was luring me. And the whole time, nobody knew how I felt as a new child of God. Because I respected the holiness and godliness of the women in the church. Anybody? You remember when you got the Holy Ghost? The most beautiful women in the world are found in apostolic churches. And I stood back because I was not, in my mind at the time, worthy to date anybody, much less Sister Esther, who's the one that had my eye. When I burned in my lust, it was always the women in the world, the women at my job. People at the gas station, people at the convenience store. Better keep you lusted. I'm sorry to let y'all down, yeah. I did. Was it fun? Yeah, sin lasts for a season. Did you commit adultery, fornication? No, I had the Holy Ghost. It was just a trap trying to catch me. Most of the traps that are set for us, sometimes I would imagine you probably got to be really bad for the devil to set some bear trap and just catch you like that and grab you by the ankle. Most of the traps, I think, are kind of like a weight that so easily besets us. Old-fashioned ball and chain. Just a little something, something. Just enough, Brother Taylor, you can't run the aisles. Brother Taylor's a runner. And just because he might not run today, he don't mean he got a ball, y'all. Keep the church trauma down. I'm just using a fun example. But just enough, you know, a ball, bowling ball, a good 8-10 pound, tied to your strong leg. Just enough to keep you from running in church, from celebrating for victory. Maybe if you do bad enough, you could even get the compound shackles, some ankles and some wrists, like deadbeat daddies do when they go to jail and they don't pay their fines. Maybe you could even be prisoned in a jail cell, because lust of the flesh can get you there. There's many great men that have fallen through lust of the flesh. Some of them even got to go to jail because they couldn't control themselves enough. They actually went and hired a prostitute. I don't think you wake up in the morning and figure you're going to go get you a prostitute. Amen, men? I don't know where it comes from, but it doesn't come too quick and it doesn't come too slow. It comes just right. Because for you to deny yourself the favor with the Lord to go be with a prostitute, man, that ain't apostolic for sure. That ain't even Christian for sure. I know some real good people that wouldn't even think of doing such a thing. But it's a light trap. It's a physical touch. It's a tease. It's a taunt. It's a flirt. Anymore, it can be inspired by electronics. I'm tired of hearing porn in church, but it seems to be the new thing. How easy it is now. I still remember hiding magazines. That's what was my porn days. How about y'all? Now the new generation porn days is in their pocket. And it's not just him, it's her. It jumped the fence. It's a trap. It's a trap that burns your eyes. It's a trap that burns your brain. It's a trap that gets into the dark places in your soul. To the point, it's a sickness now. People qualify it as a sickness. I was healed real quick when I was sick, when my daddy found it. How about y'all? About that 10th strap from that razor strap belt on it. Ooh, I'm healed. Now, I was Catholic. I was healed instantly. My mom found them things. It was like on. Beat you down. This generation, I don't even know how you keep up with it. You can only block so much. Because then you just go to your friends and borrow your friends' tools. People are so sick now, they're savage at work. You leave your phone down, they don't even steal it anymore. They just see what apps and things you got, and they'll just use yours. Lady came to me, mother, dad, can't find my phone. What kind of phone you got? I got an 8. And I said, ooh, man, I'd be sick if I lost an 8. You know what somebody did? They took her phone and played with her phone at work, and they about to wore the battery out, turned it into me. Didn't want to look and see where they went in that phone, but God only knows. What do we do as apostolic people with our tools, our utensils? You know, in scriptures, a trap was set for Joseph, and Joseph said, came out of his jacket. Oh, no, sister, we're not doing that. Potiphar's wife might have been pretty attractive. I would think if she was a leader in the community, she was a nice-looking woman. Joseph, no. You can't trap me with that lust of the flesh. Most times we can run away. Most times we can say no thank you. Most times when a flirt comes around, we can shield it with some scripture deep down inside. Most times we ought to be able to remember we're married in this class. Oh, but they think I'm real cute. You'll be real cute when she catches you with that other woman. Have you a set of black eyes to go with all your clothes in the yard that you got to find a place to stay with now? They might even go old school and catch you when you asleep. Grits, grease, boiling water. Y'all shaking your head. Y'all remember reading? That's what we read about. Keep on keeping on. Try it out. See what you go get. When you find yourself in positions that you're being lured to, it's pretty tough. Vices, the addiction, there's people in church, apostolic churches, that got scriptures for sipping wine. Y'all know them, amen? Just for my stomach's sake. I know how you feel about it. You know, I just rather stay away. I was delivered from it, so I don't touch it. But it's just a sip. I seen some sips for their stomach's sake. They had must have had a big stomach. Sipping got out of control. Then it didn't work good because they had to sip it every day. Sip themselves right out of church, one sip at a time. Because it was placed before them because they needed it. And I know. I've had situations I wondered what I should do. Fortunately, my Holy Ghost reared up and stopped me from doing things I ought not to do. Amen. You could get involved with illegal drugs in church. This is going to go both ways in the sound of my voice. You in church, not out of church, might want to come to church. It can happen to you too. Illegal drugs. And it seems legal drugs are out of control now. You can watch the news. I didn't watch the news for a long time, but like you guys, and I turned on the news, and there's opioids, and here we go again. Killing themselves on pharmaceutical drugs. How many of y'all took somebody's script? Keep your hands down. It's not legal at my job. You can't take somebody else's medicine at where I work. They're going to fire you. But we can in church because it's okay. Just try one. Break it in half in case your head spins a lot. If it ain't good, try two. Hey, man, y'all be careful because it all starts little. How many of y'all played with cigarettes before? Some of you might still be playing with cigarettes. Please do not be offended. But it's the eens and the ains and the ards and the canes and all that at the end of the word that gets you. Not the Marlboro, like Pastor said this morning. It's not Parliament. Who remember Parliament? Anybody? The red box. The strongest one. I told Pastor I didn't think it came from the tip of the tobacco leaf. Parliament must have came from the stem, by the roots. It was the worst tar and nicotine in it, the strong one, no filter. Just little things that we do now. Brother, can you get them? Just go back and check yourself, because it's a trap that's set for you, which is not the worst one. You could always say no. You could always back up from him, from her, from the finances. Trap. You could back away from the vices. Trap. But how about the traps that we set for ourselves? They got to be the worst, y'all. They're the hardest to escape from when we set traps. If you set a trap for the opposite sex, think about it just from a go slow. If you set a trap, you're not going to set a trap amateur style. You're going to be professional style. You can't afford to be caught. It can start off real sweet with you passing compliments and you being the flirt and you doing the touch and you giving the undivided attention and you tweeting and Instagramming and you Facebooking the person you ought to not to. Pastor taught us just not long ago, it's like an adrenaline rush. Electronically, I got a bite. But you're setting the bait. When you get caught in the lust of the flesh, when you get caught that way, it's hard to back out of that thing because you don't want nobody to know. One of the worst part of getting in a trap like that, I was laughing, Brother Chris, is that power that somebody has over you when you do something wrong. Brother Chris, you remember telling me that? The one that you fear the most is that somebody else knows. Somebody else knows. Somebody else can tell on you. That's got to be the worst one. Brother Chris told me that when we were talking during the fast. I'm like, ooh. How many of y'all got something here that somebody else knows besides you? I use the bad word because it ain't hid. Somebody else knows. The only thing hid is the only one you know about. But if someone else knows what you did in your finances, oh my God, it's bad enough getting hooked with a 30-year, but what about if you stole some money? You never enjoy the money that don't come from working. Never do. My papa taught me that one. You can't, a thief, like on the movies, he in millions of dollars. You can't spend millions of dollars and enjoy that and live for God. You can't do that. You can't even do that in the world. How could you possibly enjoy all your multi-million dollars when somebody's coming to you and always asking you, where'd you get all that money from? You got another car? Again? Why do you wear all the nice? How do you do it? How do you embezzle money? and get away with it. There's people stealing from the parks and recreation, the little kids, T-ball. See them on the news? $15,000. That's got to be a trap above all traps, because when you get caught doing that, baby, they put you on TV. Huh? You get put on TV. You've been embezzling from the government. You're going to be on TV. You're going to go to jail. And you'll always be marked, Sister Michelle, as the thief. Nobody ever trusts you after you steal. Go get a job after you got caught stealing something. I don't want you working for me. I can't bring you with me, but I'm a hard worker. But you got deep pockets and sticky fingers. What if you steal from somebody else? It's tough. My dad used to have, we had our own business, and most of the people that would work for us were people that couldn't get any other job, you know, we paid okay, we did janitorial work. My daddy spent more time watching to see if they were stealing than if they were working. Right? That's the kind, when you sit and you get caught, when you get caught in the lust of the flesh and you get caught in adultery and fornication, I know God can mend things, but man, that's a tough road. That's got to be the worst trap. And then your vices, if you're the bad guy or the bad gal in church and you're the one that want to take everybody and, yeah, I'll just try a little drink, try a little bit smoke, try a little bit, it's good. If you're that person, that's a bad deal. Because when it comes out, it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be old poor soul for you. It's going to be, let me get my hands on that boy that brought my girl down in church. Let me get my hands on that girl that took my boy down in church. It's not going to be a pretty sight when you get caught in those traps, the ones that you set. Is that all right? Amen? Because you're the bad guy. When we take the time and realize where we're at, according to Scripture, darkness and light doesn't mix. Right? Needs the light on. Or lights off. We are children of the light. Those of you, when you become, and enough talking about traps, when you become tired of being trapped and you get tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, I think it's how it goes, and you want out, there's a place in God, and I remember it so clear, the people that I left in darkness, they didn't want anything to do with me. And the whole time I kept wondering, oh, I think they hurt their feelings. Oh, I don't go around them anymore. Oh, they must really miss me. Because I really miss them. I grew up with them. We've been friends all my life. Most of the guys I associated with till I got the Holy Ghost, we were born and raised together in the same community. Some of you may have the same kind of relationship. Born and raised together. I'm first generation. The line was drawn, and they stayed in darkness. A few of them did come to light and followed me out of the darkness. But there's a place where the darkness stops. When we come into this marvelous light, that world that we're leaving behind, that trap that we're leaving behind, they don't want you no more. They really don't. You think they do, but they don't. They don't want light. They like living in the dark. Yeah. Oh, they're going to come and get me. No, they're not. Not in the light. It's a lie of the devil. They're not. They don't. I had the, and I shared this with y'all, I think I have shared it before. My first nervous breakdown with the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all have them? Ooh, I don't know what to do. Service after service after service. I was melted down over sinners. I met a young lady that used to run with us in the world. She was married, got a life straight, no Holy Ghost. Just come out of the bad things we did. And I met her and she said, you still in church? I said, yeah. You married yet? No, not yet. It'd been out of church, been out the world for about a year, year and a half. And she said, you miss everybody? And I said, and it's sometimes, guys, I did. I'd look back and I'd cry. I missed them so much. That's all I knew. And I said, yeah, I miss everybody. She goes, you gonna quit church? Like, oh no, no. Don't miss them that much. No. That was about the time I realized I was too old to go to jail. I'm really too old to go to jail. Now, how about y'all? We talk some talk, but when it comes time to go into jail, I'm too old to go to jail. I looked at her and I said, I want to talk to him, but I can't. And sometimes I think she goes, no, please don't talk to them. They're getting worse. They're getting worse. Two of them had been in jail. Another one had got killed. They were living lives that was despicable. Mamas and daddies were ashamed of them. They were in the newspaper at home. She said, please don't quit, Keith. Please don't quit serving God. You'll break their hearts. I went, what? She goes, they think you are living the greatest life. They look up to you. You can't stop now. And lo and behold, it was a trick of the devil to make me believe that I was here and they were still there. And the whole time, in light, I was here and they were there. They had no idea. No idea how to come out of the darkness. But they could see me in the light. They could see me one step at a time. They could see me, all the dreams we had as young men, I fulfilled most all of them. And there's some of them are still looking. I still pray for them now. But it was one thing when it came to draw the line in the sand, will I live the rest of my life in a trap or not? I chose not like you did. And if you haven't made a choice today before the service is over, you ought to choose not to live in darkness anymore. Freedom from traps comes from knowledge of the Word of God, fasting and praying, of course. And most, I'm going to say this because some people, Brother Kuhn said this, if y'all remember him speaking, I do remember him mentioning it. There's a place in praise and worship, sometimes you just don't want to. Who came in here ready for it? Raise your hand. You ready to praise and worship today? Okay? But sometimes we come in and there's no place for it. It's just like, I don't like that song. I don't want to hear that. Well, that's not praise and worship, guys. Praise and worship comes without music. Praise and worship comes from when you're at home and you get a little. When you're cleaning the house. Yeah, amen. That's the one that'll keep you out of the traps. It's a beautiful thing to hear beautiful music, but that's not the one I'm talking about. If you stay with me, when the Bible is spoken of as a sharp, two-edged sword, when you're trapped, my worst trap is being trapped in a net. I would hate that. Anybody ever had a net thrown on you when you was a kid? My grandpa was a cowboy. My grandpa used a rope to catch us when we got older because we were too fast. But if he could get within 15 feet of you, whipping came on. Feet tied with one end, other end was the belt. Y'all were bad? Oh, we were some little hellions. I'm sure y'all were too when we was little kids. We'd get into everything he told us not to. Bible says if I had some word of God when the enemy comes at me with a rope, I would just take one cut. Let me go, devil. You can't hold me down. Let me go, devil. My Bible says, cleave to my wife, not chase some other woman. That quick, that easy. I can swing it left-handed. I can swing it right-handed. It cuts both ways. And sharper, penetrating to asunder. Amen? When you use the Word of God for your vices, for your ailments, for your aches and your pains, it's powerful than a two-edged sword. How many of y'all picked up a two-edged sword ever in your life? You got to do it just to fulfill Scripture. It's scary. I'm not talking about a big knife. I'm talking about one like on TV. We got to go to reenactments, and you get to hold those things, and just instantly you can say, whoa, this is not even Lord of the Rings here, and this dude feels bad. And you could really put some damage knowing your Word of God, amen? Knowing your Word of God. You got to know the Word of God deep down within. I'm watching the time. I'm going to get out of this thing real quick. Hopefully you're enjoying it. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Knowledge of the Bible, got to have it. Brother Keith, I can't read and write. Listen then when somebody's preaching. Put on a tape. Put on a CD. Put on your phone. Put on your tablet. Follow along with the reader. Whatever you can do to get your brain engaged in the Word of God, you need to have it. You need to have it. Amen. Fasting and praying, Bible teaches us that fasting breaks the bands of wickedness. There's a place where you get, and y'all just know because we just came out of fasting, that there's a power in it. There's a power in it. When you can go to the refrigerator and close the door, that's power right there. You know what I'm saying? When somebody brings donuts, like donuts never happened before in your life, and you just got to walk into it and say, oh, and tie my tie and walk away from that thing. Woo, that's power. And that's before you even get down and pray, Brother Jean. That's power. When you say no thank you when it's free, and have 10 people go, what are you doing? I'm on a mission here right now. When you're stuck in the vice, there's power in that thing, amen? There's power to be had. There's power to break the bands of wickedness. When we come down to worshiping God, please, I don't know what's your favorite song today, and I'm not asking you to get ready for it. I'm asking you for your favorite song when you're under pressure. When you're singing, He Set Me Free, He Set Me Free, He Broke the Bonds of Prison for Me. When I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see, glory to God, He set me free. Those worship songs, be above how you feel today. Sometimes we got to worship, that sacrifice of praise. Sometimes you don't have to get out the seat to be free. Or let the people know next to you, you're fixing to wind this thing up. We give you room for when you turn it loose. But when we offer up praise and worship unto God, the things that will flow through you, especially if you're Holy Ghost filled, it doesn't take long to be set free. It doesn't take long to be absolutely. I was laughing while I was tickling myself. How many of y'all have old school, put your dog on a chain? Most poor people did that because we didn't have enough money for a fence. My dog would get so excited when I would walk up to it, Pastor, and let it off the chain. He had this imaginary line in his mind all the time. With that chain, there was his boundary. No fence, just shackled. And he would slow down as he would take off the chain out and watch him. And he'd get to the line where he knew he couldn't go no further. And then one paw past that, and he realized that chain was over. And on the other side of the ring. Anybody had a chained up dog before? Anybody have a caged in dog? When you go to the door and you open the door and you trained him, and you could open that door and he won't come out of that cage till you release him from that cage and you give him the command. And when he or she comes out, just one or two paws and they're looking, oh, behind him now. Whoo, you can't catch him. When I take the dog off the chain, I spent more time chasing the dog. I used to like to feel bad for him on the chain, but sometimes I couldn't wait to put him back on it. He'd run wide open. Then he got big enough to jump the fence of the yards, jumping and hollering and screaming with his other dog friends that he was the one that was shackled. And he'd come out of the yard. It'd be an hour sometimes to catch him in the neighborhood and bring him back and lock him down again. But when we're freed in church, often some things happen. Sounds come out of us when we're freed in church from way down within. Oh, turns into, ah, hallelujah. Tears of joy come busting out of someone's face. You could be sitting next to the person and had no idea that something was wrong with them. You might even slept with them last night. I had no idea, honey. And when they're freed, tears is pouring down their face. God forbid when someone's freed on their favorite song, you got to get out the aisle because they'll run you over like the little dog. When we leave service today, I would hope I put enough nuggets in you. Please don't be trapped so easily. Please don't give in to temptation so easily. Please remember your word of God. Please remember your fasting and praying. And as we go into the next service, please remember your worship. Let's all stand.